said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of the evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee the froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the fat path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I'd like us to look down or back again at verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The Lord identifies two different paths, if you will, two different directions, two different things identified in these two verses. The Bible says, first of all, in verse number 19, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. So you could take the path of the just and you can have the light. And of course, we know that Christ is the light. And we're to bear the light in the dark, sin-filled world that we live in. But the Bible says the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more. It gets brighter and clearer and more revealed as you stay on that path. The closer you get to God, the closer you are to the things God has for you, the more light you have. But then in verse number 19, the Bible says, But the way of the wicked it is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Boy, that's a sad verse. And if that doesn't identify the condition of the lost world that you and I live in, that nails it right there. They don't even know that they're in darkness. They don't know what's tripping them up. Sometimes we get frustrated. Well, why can't they just see it? They can't see it without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And you and I are supposed to take the message of Christ, to take the gospel to a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. So the question is posed tonight is, which one do we want? Which one do you want? Which one do I want? Which path, which direction, which course do we want for the Monterey Baptist Church? Do we want the path that gives us the light that shines more and more as we come to that perfect day, that day of completion, that day of rapture, that day when we'll see Christ as He is because we'll be like Him? Or do we want to go into that path of darkness? And you know, sometimes you see Christians that they get away from the Lord and they quit spending time with God in private devotion life, and they begin to slip from church, and you start to see things and they don't even realize it sometimes what's going on in their life. Because when you leave that path of light and you get into that darkness, the Bible says they stumble. They don't even know what at. They don't even know what's tripping them up. So tonight, I want us to look at the from verses 18 and 19 to the end of the chapter and look at some things that we can find here that can help us stay on that path of light. Now think about this missions conference coming up. Send the light. Send the light. We can't send the light if we're not walking in the light. We can't send the light if we don't have a hold of the light, or more appropriately, the light has a hold of us. It's a farce, it's a fraud, it's a fake for us to have a conference and us to preach and teach and talk about sending the gospel light around the world if we're not willing to do it right here. The question we have to answer is, which path do we want for our personal lives and for the life of the Monterey Baptist Church? Dear Jesus, Lord, again we ask you to meet with us, Lord. I pray that you'll speak to my heart. You'll stir me. Lord, I pray that you'll stir the heart of this church. Help us to realize that none of us have arrived. We all need to get closer to you. We all need to be more dedicated. We all need to have a greater vision and a greater compassion and drive for souls. Lord, we could all do more in every area. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at these simple principles that we find here in this book of Proverbs, Lord, that you'll just get a hold of our heart. Lord, we need our cold stone hearts to be broken and melted with your love, your mercy, your grace, Lord, your righteousness, your holiness. Give us a new glimpse of hell and help us to realize that our sole purpose for being in this world is to keep as many people from going down that dark path that leads to hell as we possibly can. Thank you so much for all that you've done. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Which path? And the Bible says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The Bible says, first of all, we're going to look at I've got seven things identified that we're going to look at just briefly tonight that can help us stay on that right path, the path that of the light, the path that Christ wants us to be on. The Bible says, beginning with verse number 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The first thing that we need to get a hold of and realize that we cannot stay on the path that God has for us if we get away from His Word. If we get away from His book, we can't do it. That'd be like somebody dropping you off in a strange country. And you don't have any kind of map. You don't know anything about the area. You have no idea how you got there. And they tell you, I want you to be home, you know, in so many hours. You just be running in any direction. Don't know if you're going the right way or not. That's what life is like for the Christian who refuses to get in this book and to study it and to guide it or let it guide you. But anyway, the first thing here is the Word. The Word. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 20. Attend to my words. Attend to my words. That word attend means to give heed, to mark, or to regard. In other words, when God says something, we realize it's something important. It means something. It's not like some politician or some person that you know or don't know and you just hear some arbitrary statement. You don't know if it's true. You don't know if it holds any weight. You don't know anything about it. No, when God's Word is spoken or God gives us something from His Word, that's something that we're to regard. That's something we're to attend to. Not only that, the Bible goes on to say, attend to my words and then incline thine ear unto my sayings. That word incline means to cause to yield. The first thing is you take notice. Well, if God's saying this, then I need to mark this. I need to regard this. I need to get a hold of what He's saying. And then to incline your ear, that's to cause yourself to yield to it. That's, okay, I'm not only going to take notice that God's speaking here, but I'm going to change my life to match what God's saying. I want my life to be different. You know, as a Christian, we should never be the same. We should never be the same. If we're doing like we're supposed to do and we're going to God daily and we're trying to get from God what He has for us for that day, then every day our life should be transformed. Every day we should be more like Christ than we were the day before. Every day we should have more things taken out of our life, more of the world taken out of our life, more of things that would bring a reproach to the name of Christ, more things that may not be wrong things, but they'd be considered weights. You know, the devil, he's a master at taking good things and putting them in a life of a Christian to keep them from God's best. He's a master at it. I mean, God's called me to pastor the Monterey Baptist Church of Orlando, Florida. The devil could say, you know, you could go work for this preacher and you could really help this preacher out. Would there be anything wrong with that? That's a good thing to help a preacher out, isn't it? But that's not what God has for me. That's not the best thing God has for my life. That's not God's perfect will for me. It's the same thing for every Christian. I wonder how many people that are sitting here tonight, or how many people that should be sitting here tonight, God's been working on your heart, and maybe God wants you to preach and you've been fighting it. Maybe God wants you to teach a Sunday school class. You've been fighting it. Maybe God wants you to get involved in the bus ministry. You've been fighting it. Maybe God wants you to give more to missions. You've been fighting it. Maybe God wants you to spend more time in prayer for this church and the people of this church and the ministries and the different things. I don't know what the Lord may be dealing with you about specifically. But we need to come to a place in our life that if we're going to stay on the path of life that God has for us, that we not only pay attention and attend to God's Word and regard it and mark it, but that we incline our ears to it. We yield our will to it. We allow our lives to be different because of the effect the Word of God has on us. Not only that, the Bible goes on to say, beginning with verse number 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all flesh. We need to keep the Word of God. We need to keep it. Stay faithful with it. You know, we can read it, we can study it, we can hear a message or hear a lesson taught, and we can mark that and we can regard that in our life. We say, man, I know that's true. I know that's true. We can regard that. I mean, we can mark it. We can even yield our life to it. We can incline our ears to it. We can say, I'm going to allow the truth of God's Word to affect the change in my life. And I'm going to be different, not because of who said it, as far as the human instrument to deliver the message, but because of the authority of the Word of God that's being preached or being taught, or the message of the Bible that's being sung about, however God used it to get a hold of my life, I'm going to allow it to change my life. But if we don't stay with it, it's going to be a short-lived thing. How many times do you see or have you seen or you hear of people that'll be in a special meeting or a revival or a missions conference or go to camp or something like that, and they get all excited and stir up and they're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun? I mean, there's nothing going to stop them from standing up for Christ. Then just a few weeks later, it's like it's a drudgery for them to go to church. See, we can't live on yesterday's mountaintop experience. We can't live on an emotional high spiritually, because our spiritual life is not based on emotion, though it should stir our emotion. It's okay to get emotional about what you believe and the fact that God loves you and God wants to use you. Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, if you don't get emotional about the things of the Lord, I wonder how much of a dead, cold heart you have. But it's not based on emotion. Can I let you in on a little secret? I'm a pastor. You know, we're perfect and don't sin and we have no faults. That's what some people think anyway. I ran into one of our bus families at Walmart the other day. My wife sent me to get some things, and I ran into her, and I was wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt, and she's just looking at me. She said, Pastor? Kids, that's the pastor. I said, how are you doing? She said, I've never seen you like, you're just a normal person, aren't you? I'm just a normal person. I am. You know, sometimes we forget that. But you know, sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved. Sometimes I don't feel like I want a pastor. Sometimes I don't feel like I want to get up on Saturday morning and go out on visitation. It's not based on a feeling. It's not based on emotion. It's based on the Word of God. And if we would learn that and get a hold of that, and when God would begin to deal with us and speak to us, and we would regard those things, mark those things, and then we allow it to affect a change in our life, and then we stay at it and not try to live on that emotional high that we got the day before, the week before, the month before, then we can stay faithful. Not only do we need to give heed to the Word of God if we're going to stay on that right path, but let's look at verse number 23. Verse number 23. I almost asked if you wanted me to answer that, but the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." You know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's all right. We're allowed to laugh, and God doesn't expect us to be so traditional about things that we can't just let things roll off our back. It'll be all right. We'll survive. Verse number 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, one of the themes of the Bible, one of the things that you see over and over and over and over again from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament is God dealing with the heart of matter. Where's your heart? Is your heart in it? You can't understand your heart. You can't know your heart, the Bible says. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? We got to submit that heart to God. We got to give that heart to God. If you and I really want to stay on the path that God has for our life, then it's not going to be based on some superficial thing that we want other people to see in our life. It's going to be based on a heart's desire to be pleasing to the God of heaven. You know, why do we have a missions conference? So missionaries will go around America talking about how well we treat our missionaries and what great and wonderful things we do for our missionaries when they come here. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful testimony to have. But is that what it's about? Is it so we can appease ourselves and say, well, you know, we put some money into this thing, we put some effort and time into this thing, and we emphasize missions for these few days, and we've done our part, now we can take our breath, and we don't have to worry about missions again till next year? Or are we looking for God to stir the heart of our... Are we personally looking for God to stir our heart? Am I praying, God, I want my heart to be more stirred. Now, I want to do more for missions. I want to have a greater burden, a greater desire, a greater vision. Lord, I want to pray more. I want to be more effective right here in the city of Orlando to reach this city for Christ. I mean, what is it about? The heart issue. That's why we don't have a book of prayers. It's not about vain repetition. That's why we don't just methodically do certain things in worship. Now, we have an order and a structure. The Bible says let things be done decently in order. But, you know, we wouldn't have a heart attack if we added an extra special in there or a special music, or we cut out a special music, or I don't think anybody would have a heart attack if I preach for 3 hours one day. I keep saying I'm going to do that. One of these days I'm going to do it. But, you know, I'm going to make sure that the people with shotguns don't have them with them. But, you know, we're not formal, ritualistic. Now, we're serious. We should be sober about what we're doing. I mean, when we come to church, we're not going to a gymnasium. You know, even when I'm in here through the week doing different things, if I'm not making a visit or something like that, I usually come up here in blue jeans and spend the time in the office. You know, I'm from Alabama. I like wearing ball caps, and I wear ball caps a lot of time. But when I walk in this room, I take the ball cap off. I mean, this place is set aside to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This place is set aside for God's people to come together to be encouraged to go out there in the world that's going to laugh and mock and ridicule you. I mean, this isn't playtime. This is serious business. And we need to realize that it's got to be from the heart. You think about salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's a heart issue. You say, oh, Brother Larry, I want to be on that right path. I want to be on that path of light. I want to be on that path of the just. I don't want to be out there in the darkness being tripped up in my life, not even know what's tripping me up. I don't want to be there. I want to be on that path where I know what I'm doing. I'm following the Lord step by step, and He gives me the light I need for whatever decisions I have to make. That's the path I want to be on. Then it's got to come from here. Don't do it for dad or mom. Don't do it for the pastor. Don't do it for the sake of the church. Do it because from your heart you want to please the God of heaven. Not only that, let's continue to read verse number 24. If we're going to stay on this path, the Bible identifies some things that need to be put away from us. The Bible says, put away from thee a froward mouth. That word froward, that means, by definition, a reluctance, disobedience, unyielding, and divisive. In other words, God says, look, I don't want you to do certain things. Well, but God, you're just trying to ruin my fun and you're trying to interrupt everything I want to do. Or God's leading a certain direction and, well, that's not what I want, and I want this and I want that. The Bible says if we want to be on that path God has for our life, then we've got to put that kind of attitude, that kind of spirit, that kind of froward mouth out of our life. You know, today's Caleb's birthday. He's so excited he gets to go to Grow and Glow tonight. He's graduated from the nursery. That means Jesse and Caleb are going to be sitting up here together, and the church service will never be the same. They'll definitely be more lively spirit in the service, I'm sure. But when he was opening some presents this afternoon, Jesse and Dixie wanted to open the presents. Well, no, it's not your birthday. And Dixie, you know, she's not one that likes to be told no. So what do you mean telling me no? And unless you're dad and mom, that you would look at that and say, well, that's kind of cute at that age. But I'm going to tell you something, that kind of spirit to the things of the Lord in the church is not cute at all. If we want to be the church God wants us to be, the Bible says put away, get it away from you, get it out of your life, that froward lips, a froward mouth, a froward speaking. The Bible says put away from thee the froward mouth, and the Bible says perverse lips put far from thee. Again, by definition, that word perverse has to do with distorting the right. We all do this. It's human nature. You're telling about some situation. We want to put ourselves in the best light, and we won't lie. We just won't tell everything, or we'll tell it in a certain tone or a certain way, or we'll add the influx at a different place to make it look like, you know, we were okay. It's human nature. We all do it. But the Bible says here that that's something that we need to put away from our life. We need to get to the truth. We need to be honest. We need to be open. We need to say, you know what? Let God be true and every man a liar. None of us are perfect. We just got to go ahead and decide to forgive and go on for the glory of God. But let's deal with things and let's go on. The Bible says that if we're going to be on that path God has for our life, that we need to put away from us the froward mouth and the perverse lips. Then verse number 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. We need to stay focused. We need to stay focused. One of the things that my different coaches that I had playing ball through school and different things, that's one of the things they'd always emphasize. Stay focused. You know, if they pulled you out of the game and put you over there to rest for a couple of minutes, and they were ready for you to go back in, especially this, my high school basketball coach and football coach was like this. If he looked over at you and you weren't paying attention to the game and you didn't know what was going on, then he'd leave you sitting over there. He figures if you want to affect a change in the game, then you're going to be paying attention to what's going on. I wonder sometimes if God wouldn't use us more, if God wouldn't use me more, if I didn't stay more focused on the things of the Lord, more focused on His purpose, His plan, His idea for what we're to be doing right here in this community. Stay focused. Not only that, the Bible says, excuse me, it's that allergy time of the year. The Bible doesn't say that. I was saying that. But my wife's down here laughing at me. So anyway, verse number 26. The Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder. That means to weigh mentally, to think things through. Ponder the path of thy feet. I mean, think it through. You know, if we would do that more, there'd be a whole lot fewer times that we'd get off track. Because if we would think our decisions and think the direction of our life through, take the time to do that, we'd understand that we're doing what God wants us to do, then we're going to know and understand that when things get rough and things get tough, that look, I thought this through and I pondered the way of my path, and I know God put me here, and if God put me here, give me what I need to get through it, and I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to let the devil knock me off course, but I'm going to stay faithful to what God's given me to do because I pondered the path God gave me. Not only do we need to ponder the path, but the Bible says also, let all thy ways be established. That means to be stable, to be fixed, to be confirmed. You know, sometimes when you're studying different things out, if people were in this building, they would think I was probably charismatic or nuts or both or something. But sometimes God just gives you something and you gotta let Him know how you feel about it. That's the way it was when I was studying on this particular verse. The Bible says, let all thy ways be established. That word established means to be stable, to be fixed, to be confirmed. Look, we don't have to let the conditions of the world dictate the spirit of this church. We don't have to let the condition of other churches or the condition of this country or the condition of the world that we live in, because that's not the foundation. That's not the rock that we rest on. We're established in Christ. The Bible says no other foundation can be laid than that that is laid. Anybody want to finish that verse? That's it. He's the foundation. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be shook up. We don't have to let things knock us off course. But then the last part of that definition, this is what the Lord just really encouraged me with when I was studying this, means to be confirmed. The Holy Spirit of God's right there with you. You're doing right. You're doing good. Hey, you may not be perfect, and the devil may point things out, and other people may point things out, but look, I'm here with you. I'm confirming it in your spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. I'm going to tell you something. It is a wonderful thing to know, no matter what it appears, no matter what's going on, no matter what the circumstances, to know you're where God wants you to be, doing exactly what God wants you to be doing. There's nothing in the world that you would trade for that. And the Holy Spirit of God desires to confirm if we'll let Him establish our ways. Just be established. And then the last verse here in Proverbs chapter number 4. The Bible says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Stay on track. Stay on track. You know, the Bible says, very familiar verse, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The idea there is if we'll love this book, and we'll let this book get into us, and we'll let this book change our life, that it doesn't matter what happens in our life, it doesn't matter the circumstances or whatever, nothing will knock us off course. Stay on track. Stay on track. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verses 18 to 19, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." We need to see the condition of the lost in our community, stumbling around in darkness, and they don't even know it. So we think about this missions conference coming up, and we think about this prayer vigil. Let's touch heaven with earnestness. Our community needs the light to be sent. This world needs the light to be sent. I want to conclude the service tonight by reading the simple song. "There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore." Let's make sure that light doesn't go out on our watch. I'm going to ask if everyone would stand, please, and Brother Matt, if you would.